if you're talking to me and I don't hear you, or I say something funny, I am not trying to be disrespectful. I just can't hear you. I don't have hearing in this ear. So poor brother Charlie, he said, "Hi, my name is Charlie." And I thought he said Joe. I said, "Joe?" He said, "Charlie." Didn't hear you, brother. Sorry. But, yeah, so that's one of those things. So appreciate y'all being kind. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the New Testament, to Mark chapter number 3. While you're turning there, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Now, some have postulated that this could have been the very first missions conference. And God the Father commands God the Son to go to the mission field of earth and give his life. Amen. For the world. Amen. I like that. The first missions conference. Now, we, because we love the Father, we ought to give and go as well. And I'm excited about what Pastor is saying about going and giving of your time and going. Passing out tracts, knocking on a door. Some people will never knock on a door. They're scared to death. Can I get a witness? But they can pray, or they can pass out a tract. Just leave it on the door and run. Amen. All right. Now, church, I believe when it comes to missions, in whatever form missions takes, Brother Bruce McCafferty says, pray, pay, participate. Whatever aspect of missions we're talking about, I believe our enemy, our adversary, the devil, works overtime to discourage and deter us from going all out. From giving and going big. I believe he wants to keep us locked into a spare change and spare time mentality. Amen. Now, I believe one of the ways that the enemy keeps us or keeps churches from giving and going big is by convincing us in our minds to do so would be unreasonable. That's just going too far. Okay? All right, we're in Mark chapter number 3. Let's read verses 20 and 21. Mark 3, verses 20 and 21. Amen. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. Appreciate that. The Bible says, "And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it," who are we talking about? The Lord Jesus, right? "And when his friends," Jesus' friends, "heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself." He's crazy. What's going on with this guy? So here's the KMV, the Kevin Murdoch version. The disciples of the Lord, the friends of the Lord, are saying, "Lord, Lord Jesus, we understand you love the people. We understand you want to minister to them. You want to teach them. You want to feed them. You want to help them. But you can't even sit down for a meal. What you're doing is unreasonable." Yeah. Let's pray and let's ask God to bless his word. Thank you, Father, for this time in your word. We love you. We need you. God, please, again, magnify the word of God. Exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Please draw us to you, Lord. Every person here this morning, Lord, you know our needs. You know everything deep down inside of our hearts. You know what we're thinking. And, Lord, we need you. So please help us. And we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You remember the story in 1 Kings 17, the widow at Zarephath? Do you remember that? Do you remember that story? Remember the man of God, the preacher? And he said, "Hey, what do you got in the fridge?" And she said, again, this is the KMP, the Kevin Murdoch paraphrase, "Well, I've got one fried chicken leg in the fridge, and my son and I are going to eat that, split it up and eat it, and then we're going to die." Now, if we had not been told in the Word of God ahead of time that God had commanded the widow woman to set that fried chicken leg. I'm getting a little hungry. Brother, I still love the keto diet, but I start getting hungry about now. Amen. But anyway, had we not been told that God had commanded the widow woman to take care of the man of God, picturing the missionary, I don't know about you, but I would have thought, this preacher is unreasonable. This woman is and her son are going to die, but you're going to ask her to give whatever she has left to you so you can eat it first? To me, that's unreasonable. Wouldn't you say? Giving and going. Practically speaking, this is what missions is, practically speaking. But giving and going big, it's just unreasonable to us. It's unreasonable. Now, whatever God wants from us in missions, starting in June, when we're tempted to think and say to ourselves, you know, giving this and going here is unreasonable. It's too much, Lord. When we're tempted to entertain those thoughts, let's remember these three truths. Number one, turn to Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter number 19. Come here, Luke 19. Luke 19. Let's determine to give and go big. Why? Number one, because it's needful. It's needful. Luke 19. Look at verses 28 through 31. The Bible says, and when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him. What does the Word of God say, church? Because the Lord hath need of him. Why did the Lord want this colt? Because he needed him. He needed him. We have to remember that. I have to remember that. When God says, Kevin, I want you to give this. I want you to go here. When I'm tempted to say, Lord, that's unreasonable, I have to remind myself, it may seem unreasonable, but it's needful. Years ago, I remember in school, on a mission board. We had a mission board. And there was a young man, very sharp, very smart young man. He was from Burma. They call it Myanmar now, Myanmar. Is that how you say it? And what a precious young guy, smart guy. And I can't reproduce his accent, but, you know, his English, because, you know, Burma is his home country. He's, Brother Kevin, I need vehicle deputation. Pray, I need a vehicle. It's like, amen, brother, I'll be praying for you. Immediately, God was putting on, of course, we're talking about the colt being the transportation. Giving your transportation. And God immediately spoke to my heart and said, you need to give this brother your vehicle. You need to give this brother your car. I said, Lord, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? You don't know what I'm talking about. You need to give this brother in Christ, you need to give him your car. Lord, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean you don't know what I'm talking about? You need to give him your car. I don't have a car, Lord. I have a Ford Thunderbird. And I look good in this Thunderbird, Lord. God says, I want you to give him this car. So I put it off, brother. And I try to stop thinking about, you can't. Once the Lord lays, I mean, God will stay after you in a gentle way. He'll apply the pressure. 6 months, I put it off.
And I finally sat down with Laura and I said, God wants me to give up. His name is Zam Tong. And I said, God wants me to give Brother Zam Tong this car. Now, I let Laura drive the minivan. My friend called it a death trap. And so that's fine. You let Laura and the kids have that. I wanted the Thunderbird, okay? So my wife, she said, we'll be fine. We'll make do. We'll be okay. Give him the vehicle. Brother, I gave him the keys to that T-Bird, and he was absolutely ecstatic. Now, Zam Tong has been in Myanmar for 15 years at least now. Amen. Has started a church and an orphanage, and people have got saved.
Yes.
Now, church, here's the thing. At the time, I said, God, this is not reasonable. I mean, we had five kids, and I needed my vehicle, my Thunderbird, my beautiful white Thunderbird. I needed that to go to work. I needed it to go to school. Laura needed her own vehicle. At the time, I thought, that's unreasonable. At the time, I was like, yeah, that's right. But now, I understand. It was needful. It was needful. And you know what? God is going to start dealing with all of you about what to give and where to go. And when we're tempted to say it's unreasonable, we've got to remember it's needful.
Yes,
amen. Go to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. And let's read verses 6 through 10. Let's shift gears a little bit and go from giving to going. Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. The Bible says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed or tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them or allowed them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Boy, I'd like to take several minutes and talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not really going to do it, but Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, but I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Praise God for that. The legal transaction that makes it possible for God to forgive anyone, take him to heaven, adopt him into his family. Amen for the gospel. Thank God, Paul responded, to go to help believers when they called him. Now, let's shift gears again. We're talking about going now. Let's go to Job chapter 38. Interesting scripture in Job chapter 38. Job 38. One verse in Job 38. Job 38:19. The Bible says, now this is God speaking. God is asking Job a series of questions. Okay? Now look at this question in verse number 19. God is asking Job, where is the way where light dwelleth? That is an interesting question. Job, do you know the way wherein light dwelleth? So God is asking Job, Job, explain how light moves, and then explain how it rests. Interesting. Now the word way in verse number 19 means path or journey. Now, whatever light is, and by the way, the skeptics, the atheists, all of the scientists, so-called, nobody knows what light is. We see the effects of it, but nobody knows what it is. Is it a ray? Is it a particle? It's something we cannot fully understand. By the way, again, I would like to ask and submit to the atheist, how do you explain light apart from a creator? It's an incredible thing, whatever it is. But God says, whatever it is, it takes a path or journey from the sun to the earth. Whatever light is, it moves from the sun to us. And then we enjoy it. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, 13, 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there. Ye are the light of the world. Amen? So are you smelling what we're spraying right there? If light, whatever it is, we don't know what it is, but whatever it is, it moves. And if Jesus says, we are the light, we are to move. Amen. Into all the world. Praise God. We need to be going somewhere. The problem is that we're tempted to say that's unreasonable. I worked with a church planter and brother. When we went in to help start a new church, we did what was called an Operation 10,000. You know what that means? That means knocking on 10,000 doors. Brother, there were, I remember one church we were helping to start. I think we knocked on like 17,000 doors. And bro, we were starting at like 9 in the morning and we weren't getting done till like 8 o'clock at night. That's a lot of doors. But you got to do that when you're starting a church. And so we would go from town to town, different towns, 10,000 doors, 20,000 doors. And that seems unreasonable. But starting those churches was very needful. Because not only was a New Testament church started where the Word of God could be preached and people could be fed the Word of God and they could be cared for by a pastor, but people got saved. You see what I'm saying? At the time, maybe you're thinking knocking on doors, that's for the pastor. Okay, praise the Lord for the pastor. It seems unreasonable, but it's so needful. Because Paul did what he did because he went to Macedonia. Churches were started. People were saved. Saints were encouraged in the Word of God. Are y'all all right? Okay, y'all are giving me kind of a look. So I just want to make sure we're okay. So what does God want you to give? Where does He want you to go? You know what I think is unreasonable? Jesus suffering a horrible death. He suffered and bled and died on the cross. That to me seems unreasonable. But boy, wasn't it needful? And when we pass that final barrier, going from this life to heaven, we'll begin to fully grasp how needful it was. Number two, turn to Luke chapter number 5. Oh, man, God is going to work in our hearts. God is going to want us to give. He's going to want us to go. And by the way, can I just say thank you, Glory Baptist Church, for your faithfulness to give. By the way, and I want to repeat this as often as I can. I know Pastor knows, but every time I go into a foreign country, every time I'm doing these things, I cannot do it without you. But I can do it with you. We are a team. And we're going to talk about that tonight. I'm so excited about that tonight. So, when the enemy tries to say, oh, that's unreasonable, remember, number one, it's needful. Number two, we're in Luke chapter number 5. The Lord says, hey, listen, give and go big. Why? Number two, because it's blessable. It's blessable. Luke chapter 5. Let's look at verses 1 and following. Luke 5, verse 1. And it came to pass that
As the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, boy, what a wonderful day that must have been. People just, I mean, they were just crowding the Lord because they wanted to hear the word, a hunger and thirst for the word. Wow. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. It was the end of the day, work day. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. That's good right there. Saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. That last part was really good, but the first part probably shouldn't have said that. We don't want the Lord to depart from us. We are sinful men. Amen. That's a little extra there. Now notice verse 9. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught or the catch of the fishes which they had taken. Now, church, look at verse number 4. What did the Lord command in verse number 4? Couple of commands. It's okay. What did the Lord command in verse number 4? Launch out and? Yeah, let down your nets. Right, exactly right. And so, now look what Peter did. Think about Peter now. Peter let Jesus borrow his boat. That was nice of him. Then he stayed longer, because remember, he had toiled all the night, but Jesus said, stay a little longer, launch out, let down your nets. So he stayed a little longer than he wanted to. Then he launched out into the deep, went out again, and then let down his net. Now, was Peter blessed for his obedience? Look at verses 8 and 9. Peter was blessed big time, bigly, for his obedience. Now, here's the thing. Peter felt bad because his blessing was so massive in contrast to his faith in the Lord's ability to bless him. Oh, are y'all picking that up right there? That's massive. God says, I want you to give this. I want you to go here. And we're saying, well, you know, I know that the Lord will bless. We have no idea to the extent that the Lord will bless our obedience. Jesus will bless our obedience so much it'll make us ashamed like Peter. He was astonished. I bet he was absolutely speechless because of the blessing. Because he just couldn't believe that Jesus would bless him so much. And he, Jesus, hooked that brother up. Amen.
Yes, we might.
Woo! And Jesus greatly blessed Peter, even though Peter didn't fully obey. You saw that, right? Peter let down his net. Jesus said, let down your nets. Plural. Who knows? Maybe after all was said and done, maybe Peter was thinking, well, you know, Lord, I let you borrow my boat. I stayed a lot longer than I wanted. Amen. I went out again. Been a long night. Launched way out into the deep. I let down my net. You want me to let them all down, Lord? That's unreasonable. And so we'll do that. Some of us will say, yes, Lord, you can borrow my boat. some of us will say, okay, Lord, I'll stay a little longer than you wanted. Pastor wants us to come on Saturday. All right, I'll do that. The Lord will say, go ahead and launch out into the deep. Go into that place that is outside of your comfort zone. That's one preacher. I think one preacher talked about launching out into the deep. It's a place where it's like kind of scary. Amen.
Yeah.
Launch out into the deep. Let down all your nets. That seems unreasonable, doesn't it? But it's so blessable. Ask Peter. The story is told of a couple, true story, of a couple who couldn't have children. And so they decided they were going to adopt children instead. And they went through the long process of adopting a child. They really wanted a son. And so they went through all of the paperwork. They went through all of the interviews. They paid all of the fees, thousands of dollars. And so they found a mother who was going to give up her child for adoption. It was a boy, so they were really excited. A week before the due date, the mother changed her mind and decided to keep the baby. And this couple was very disappointed because it's not easy adopting a baby. But they said, you know what, let's pray, let's just ask God, and let's just, you know, try this again. So they went through the entire process again, very time-consuming process. All of the paperwork, all of the background checks, all of the interviews, paying all of the fees. And they found a mother who was going to give up a baby for adoption, a boy, 3 days before the due date. The mother changed her mind and kept the baby. They were devastated. Well, it was missions conference time. And the pastor got up and said, hey, we have a missionary that has a need, and it's a big need. And we're going to ask the people to give. Now, this couple had saved a lot of money to try to go through the adoption process again. But their hearts were very heavy because now they're thinking that this door is closed. But they had money set aside to go through the process again, to adopt a child. They wanted a son more than anything in the world. But the pastor announced the need of the missionary, and the husband and wife went to the altar, and they knew what God was asking them to do. To take the money that they were going to use to adopt a child and to give it to the missionary for his need. And so they did. The very next day, true story, the very next day, the pastor gets a call from the such and such convent. I don't even know what you call those, where the nuns live. Is that what you call them? Anyway, they got a call from the convent, from Sister So-and-so, and Sister So-and-so said, I'm Sister So-and-so from the convent down the road. And we have a very unusual situation. We have a lady, a young lady, who has come to the convent, and she has delivered a child. And we cannot take care of this child. Now, this is very strange. I don't know why we would call you. Typically, we have our own channels where we work through. But we thought we would call you and ask if you knew if there was a good couple in your church that would take care of this child. And this is what the nun, the sister so-and-so, said. If you promise to raise this child in the Baptist religion, that's what she said, we will make all the arrangements and deliver the child. And the pastor said, I think I know a couple that would be happy to adopt a child, take this child. And didn't you know? It was a boy. Now, at the time, I'm sure this couple, heartbroken, was thinking, this is so unreasonable, but it's needful. But they found out it was blessable.
Yes, they might.
Amen. Isn't God good?
Yes,
y'all getting excited about missions yet? I hope so. I'm getting excited. So, remember the widow at Zarephath. She gave the pastor, the preacher, the missionary, her last fried chicken leg. Remember that? 1 Kings 17, verses 15 and 16. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. That's the blessing. And the barrel of meal wasted not. That's the blessing, praise God. Neither did the cruse of oil fail. Blessing according to the word of Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Amen. Getting and going, the devil's going to say, that's unreasonable. You know what the Lord says? Fooey on him. Probably not the fooey part, but hey, listen, it's blessable. Praise God. Number three, and we're done. Turn to John chapter number 6. Praise God. John chapter 6. I remind my own heart, because I'm there with you. I'm like, you want me to give what? You want me to go where? It's needful. It's blessable. But praise God, number three, it's doable. It's doable. John 6. Look at verses 1 through 11. John 6, 1 through 11. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Interesting question. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Woo, this is so good. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here. That's really good. I'm here, Lord. I'm right here. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. That's a great word right there. As much as they would. As much as they wanted. Praise God. So what's going on in this passage right here? There is a great need, is there not? There are hungry people, right? A great need, just like the need that the world has. They're starving for the gospel. A lot of them don't know it. Amen. So there's not enough Whataburgers to go around. Amen. Now, according to verse number 9, look at verse number 9. According to verse number 9, the disciples are overwhelmed by the magnitude of the situation. Hey, listen, we're just a bunch of little cheap Baptists. We've only got maybe 10 bucks between all of us here. That's not enough to get everybody a Whataburger. I like the green chili ones. That's not a hint, brother, because I'm on keto. But I miss those, the green chili patty melts. There's not enough. to buy those to feed all of these people. What are we going to do? Now, here's the thing. In the panic of how overwhelming this need is, they didn't catch what Jesus said. And what did Jesus say? This is important. Look at verse number 5. You see verse number 5? Now look at what Jesus said. Look at the third word that Jesus uttered. What is it? Whence shall, what's the next word? We. Now that's a very powerful word. You see that word? Underline that word. Circle that word. We. We. Now, according to verse number 6, Jesus knew what he was asking Philip to do was unreasonable. He knew that. There's about 5,000 men, and if we add the women and the children, how many would that be? A Brazilian people. A gajillion people. There's a lot of people, thousands of people. And the Lord Jesus already knows they don't have enough money to buy enough Whataburgers to feed these people. He already knows. He knows it's unreasonable in Philip's mind. But indirectly, he told Philip he was going to get it done. He was going to meet the need. Praise the Lord. In other words, this massive need of feeding these people was doable. Why? Because it was Jesus Christ, the power behind getting it done. Now, are you picking up what we're throwing down right there? Luke 22:35, Jesus said, "When I sent you, lacked ye anything?" And the disciples said, "No, no." So what are we trying to say? We have a big world to reach. Over 7.5 billion people right now. That's a massive need.
Yes. That's right.
But we can do our part, no problem, because Jesus Christ is the power behind getting it done.
That's right.
So whatever God lays on our hearts, we can take comfort.
Yes.
It's going to be doable.
Yes, that's right.
That's a great comfort to me.
Amen.
That takes a lot of pressure off of me. Because I'm like, there's not enough tracts, there's not enough preachers, there's not enough. God says, we are going to meet this need. This church, other churches. Amen. Praise God. Man, that's so good. Okay, shut your Bibles. Praise God. Shut your Bibles. Someone said this, every sinner's heart is a mission field, and every saved heart is a missionary. You know what? The need for the gospel to go out into all the world, as you well know, is greater than it has ever been. Do you know that there are more Muslim mosques in Atlanta, Georgia, than independent Baptist churches? Missions is so blessable, though, it'll make us ashamed like Peter. And it is more than doable. Because Jesus Christ is the power getting it done. Amen. So, church, what is God going to have us do together? Maybe you've got thoughts for me. I don't know. But God is God and God is good. God is always up to something good. God is amazing. And so, church, let's roll up our sleeves. Amen. Let's give. And go big. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you again. Lord, we glory in your power. We glory in who you are. We glory in your goodness. Because you love the world so deeply. And the message of the gospel is truly love that we can't even conceive in our minds, nor could we adequately express with our lips, but we're thankful for it. So, Lord, what are you going to lay on the hearts of these dear people? What are you going to lay on my heart? I hope in some small way we will have greater faith
to do what you want us to do, to give what you want us to give. So whether it's finances or whether it's time, whether it's knocking on a door or going to downtown Houston or going across an ocean, thank you for the reminders from the Word of God. Thank you for the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you preserved these words. Thank you that they're indestructible and we have them forever. Thank you for this pastor that is faithful to you and to the Word of God. Thank you for a people who are faithful that hear the Word of God. Now just help us to keep it, Lord. So we love you. Got our heads bowed and eyes closed. Pastor's coming here in just a moment. But Pastor mentioned something very, very important at the beginning of the service. Is there anyone here that will possibly say, you know, I don't know if I'm born again. I don't know if I've had that radical change. You know, that radical change when there was darkness and God said, let there be light. That's a radical change. The kind of radical change when a baby is birthed from the womb, from a place of darkness, a place where it's enclosed, where there's no freedom, and then radically is born into a new world. That's what being born again is like. It's a radical change. Have you experienced that? If there is any doubt whatsoever, the great news is you can get that doubt settled today. That's what I did. I doubted. Oh, mercy, I doubted. I was so brokenhearted. I was devastated because of all the lies I'd told over my life, the things that I had stolen. I was broken, brokenhearted. And then because I was brokenhearted, it only made sense to go to God and throw myself at the mercy of God and beg His forgiveness. But then I was ready. Like a single man is ready to leave his single life and commit to the woman he loves, I was ready. I was ready to leave my sinful life behind. It wasn't a promise to never do wrong again. It was just simply saying, because my wife knew when she married me, she was not marrying a perfect person. And parents know that their children aren't perfect. They know that. They know their children are going to make mistakes. They know their children are going to be naughty. God knows when His kids are born into His family, they're going to be naughty. They're not going to be perfect. But there was a point in time when they said, yes, I'm ready to leave the old life. I'm ready to commit my life to Jesus. He's holding out His hand, and I'm ready to take His hand. That's what I did 27 years ago in November. I want to encourage you to do that. So, thank you, Lord, again for Pastor and all the good folks of Glory Baptist Church. Oh, God, please. Like Pastor said, God's people need revival. The unsaved need to be born again. God, maybe it's just a practical need. I don't know if it's a financial need. Someone's under a burden, pressure. There's young people here. I don't know. They may be struggling with school. They may be struggling with a number of things that teenagers struggle with, young people struggle with, adults struggle. We need you, God. So we remember the scripture that says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Thank you for that. Lord, we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand by feet here this morning. And George, you come. Brother,
Kevin has given us his heart. He has given us the Word of God. And we pray that you'd respond this morning according to what God has done with you, as the Holy Spirit of God has dealt with your heart. And so there's many things this morning in which you can make choice over, but just make sure that that choice is favoring toward God. Whatever choice it is, just make sure that God's in that choice. You sing, brother. If you need to come, you come. Maybe just pray that I need to give this year for missions. Maybe you need to give your heart. Maybe you need to give more time. Maybe give prayer. Maybe give something. Maybe you're stingy. Maybe this morning you just don't really care. You're just not concerned. May God help us this morning. I would say that the majority of your family is going to hell. I'd say the majority of your friends are going to hell. I'd say the majority of your neighborhood is going to hell. And I'd say the majority of your country is going to hell. My, there's a great need. There's a great need. It's blessable. It's blessable and it's doable. It's doable. As I think about this morning, and if you're just here just for a moment, I was thinking about what Jesus said to Peter about the nets. Plural. The nets. And he threw out a net. Did y'all notice that? And was that net filled? The answer is yes. What if he threw out two nets? What if he threw out four nets? I'm just not real sure that when he went out the night before, that he threw out one net. I would think he threw out multiple nets. Now, how much more could he have received if he would have thrown out nets rather than net? I wonder how much, and boy, I don't want to make this sound right, and I don't want to preach, although I do. How much are we leaving on the table? How much? I'm sorry to say, I've come up short. Because on some occasions, if not many occasions, and boy, if we're just real honest, if not all occasions, the Lord said, do that. I did portions, parts, partial. I received the blessing, but boy, I tell you, it could have been much more. God help me this year. Moving on for the missions of 2021. That I'll be able to throw out my nets. That's good. That's good. Catch more fish. That's good, brother. I limited what God could do. Reminds me of some scripture where he says that the gospel, Christ's hand was tied. Tied. That he could not do any more mighty works in that town. I don't want to be the one in 2021 that God will look down upon and said, I cannot because of your faith. God help me. But that brings great fear in my heart. That I could hinder the Lord and the work that He wants to do. Even though it's doable, and I've been told many a times, the Lord's work will get finished if I'm involved or if I'm not involved. That kind of puts me to the place where either I want to get involved and we get this done, or He uses somebody else. I'm just kind of selfish in that this morning. I don't want God to use nobody else. I want to be used.
That's good, bro.
I pray this morning with all my heart that You'd have a heart that would say, Lord, I don't want You to use nobody else. I just want You to use me. Whether I go, whether I give, whether, I guess it would be what our brother says there was to pay,
yeah,
to participate,
pray.
Or pray.
Yeah.
Amen?
That's right.
So I pray this morning you got something out of the message. Amen? Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. When the preacher's excited about what he's preaching on 6 o'clock, you have to come back. Amen? And so we pray that you'll do that. Let's pray. Brother George, you dismiss us here this morning, our dear brother. And we'll see you back here at 6 o'clock. Okay.